We jump to the Subway Restaurant's Fresh Take Hotline. Joining us from Sportsnet is Billy Jaffe. Good to talk to you, Billy.
Good to be talking with you, too. What's shaking out there?
Well, we're...
It's snowing.
It's not snowing.
Yes, it was snowing. When I was driving in, there was snow.
Don't they? You know what? I love winter, but don't tell me that.
I know.
Finally sunny and somewhat warm here in Toronto.
Yeah.
So.
I want to talk about Toronto, but first I'm curious to get your read as to what is happening or has happened already to this point in Vancouver. We know Mike Gillis has been fired. We know John Tortorella has not been fired, and it sounds like Trevor Linden will be installed as the president. I'm going to fire a lot of questions here at you, but some will say this is ownership meddling. Some will say they fired the wrong guy. I'm curious what your read is.
This is real life, you know, soap opera playing out in front of us. The day of the soap opera died because they said there were too much to produce on a network TV. Well, we've got a live one right here in Vancouver. They're making it fun for all of us. I don't know. Listen, this is my take on it, and we talked about it a little bit on Sportsnet last night. Vancouver's got really, I give them credit. They understand that this is messed up out there and that they have lost their identity. I say that they lost their identity the day they lost to the Boston Bruins in 2011 in a Stanley Cup that was stellar and that they could have won, some would argue should have won, but they didn't play game seven well, and so they didn't. But ever since then, they've been searching for an identity, and it's been this gradual decline until this year, completely out of the playoffs. They've got this one chance to reset it. Now, you have to do it the right way. Is Trevor Linden the right guy to be GM? I would say no. And so it doesn't sound like he's going to be named GM, but perhaps president. Is he the right guy to be named president? I don't know. If it's going to be a good figurehead thing for PR, maybe. But he seems like a sharp guy, too, but obviously he's got some skeletons in his closet with his past dealings with the PA, etc. If this is the right kind of guy to lead your franchise as a president, you guys better pick the right general manager right now to reset this thing. Otherwise, all you're doing is a bunch of PR moves, and you're just going to screw it up for years to come. So, again, I give them credit right now, guys. Getting it done quickly, making a decision. Is John Tortorella the right guy there? Not based off this year, not with the type of players he's got. He's got some thoroughbreds there, and he's kind of treating them kind of like workhorses instead of thoroughbreds. So I'm not sure he's the right guy there, but you better get somebody in there who's really strong as a great GM, not somebody that's a PR move, because if you're doing this for PR, then you've lost the boat on this one.
What do you think about a comparison with Calgary? There's lots of people that have said 3 years ago you should have been selling those guys off. Is it the same scenario in Vancouver?
I actually think it isn't, because if you look at the guys you're saying you should be selling off, I mean, 3 years ago, you know, and I know you're saying about Calgary, but the Sedins, I mean, they're identifiable with the team. They're still a little bit younger than, like, Jerome finally was 35, right, when he finally left. I mean, I still thought the Sedins had it in them. They don't have it in them to play this way, staying down low, blocking shots, even playing more minutes. They're 18, 19, 20-minute-a-game guys. They're not 21-plus-a-minute-a-game guys and starting a lot in their own zone. I think that Vancouver had more high-end talent than Calgary. I thought Calgary kept holding on for the hope of making playoffs. I thought last year even Vancouver was a better team than what they had, but they screwed up the goaltending situation, and that weighed heavily on everybody. And, you know, you can sit there and say, well, you know, it's just goaltending. We all know that's a bunch of crap. Goaltending is the most important position in hockey, and when you mess with that mojo, that goalie mojo, you're going to mess with the team.
Do you feel like if either, well, I guess let's say this, if Corey Schneider was still in Vancouver, do you feel like maybe Mike Gillis is still employed? And let's just say the results don't change. They missed the playoffs this
no.
year, but at least they have Corey Schneider. Is the result
no.
different?
No. Unfortunately, I get your question, but you can't play that game because there's been other things this year, too. I mean, if you miss the playoffs with Corey Schneider, that really means that your team has been, you know, crappy on the ice, even more so, and you know, not helped him out. I mean, does that get John Tortorella let go? Maybe it's hard to play that game, guys, when you say, would he still be there? My guess is you've seen this decline, and it's been significant. Every year, another grade down and down and down, and to where the point where, you know, it's a fickle business, but you have to make a change. And I still think more changes are going to be made there. I don't know exactly what, but I do think if it's not the coach, maybe it's some other type business or some other decision in the business there's got to be more changes made there.
Chatting with Billy Jaffe of Sportsnet here on Sports at 960 The Fan, you've spent a lot of time around the Rangers over the last few years. John Tortorella, your thoughts on, I guess, what he did in New York, what he's done in Vancouver, does he deserve to be fired? Is 1 year not enough of a, you know, of a sample size for him? Or, and I guess just in general, your thoughts on him as an NHL coach?
Well, I've known John for a long time because I was with the Atlanta Thrashers. May they rest in peace. Many years ago, when he was at the Tampa Bay Lightning, and so I got to know John pretty well there. You know, because we saw him six times, sometimes eight times a year with the whole preseason thing. And you know, John was always sharp tongued, and but he was, you know, he was more personable then. He was more approachable then. No question about it. Came to New York, it changed a bit. As the bright lights in Broadway will perhaps do to some people. But then, you know, there's still times that you could have a real good conversation with John, who is a smart man. I just feel like, you know, in New York, he had the type of team that he could play the kind of game he wanted to. The problem is the game has changed so much. You know, the Canucks, they have a few older players, but yet they play a newer style of hockey. You know, again, I go back to what I said a few minutes ago. You know, Sedins don't want to be playing deep in their own zone. I mean, they want to be below the puck and play defensively when they have to, but they don't want to have to be diving and blocking shots and playing ultra-aggressive hockey. That's not in their DNA. And, you know, more guys in New York were like that. I think John is a good coach, but I do think he needs to change his ways in the sense of stylistically. The best coaches, and I do an awful lot of work with the Boston Bruins, Claude Julien, to me, is the perfect example. He has changed his ways over the last 3 to 5 years in particular. You know, 2 years ago, guys, he saw how his D were a little too deep, and he didn't get, and he had to gap them up more and get them transitioned and then into the offense. So over the last 2 years, and in particular last year into this year, his D now are part of the rush an awful lot of times because the game has changed. That's what good coaching has to do always.
Well, let me ask this because, like you say, the proximity with Atlanta and Tampa Bay, you were familiar with that team. One of the rumors that is out there is that Jay Feaster could pop up as early as today as a potential either general manager or part of the front office staff because of his relationship and recent success, going back to 2004, with John Tortorella. Jay Feaster's work as a general manager in the NHL, and your thoughts?
I like Jay. I do. I you know what? I think you know Jay has a very different approach, and you guys saw it well. You know, living, being, and breathing in Calgary with Flames hockey. You know, he's not the typical former player, even former guy who worked his way up as management and this thing. He came in as an attorney, and you know, in Hershey, and you guys know his story well. And he's passionate about it. I like him. I think I like his cerebral approach to it. One of the things I like talking to Jay about is that he understands he's not always perfect. A lot of these guys won't admit their flaws, and Jay every once in a while is like, yeah, all right, I missed on that one. I like the human element of it. To me, Jay's work in the NHL has been good. I mean, look, you have to manage to what kind of identity that your team is, and I think Jay tries to do that. I think Jay knew when Brian Burke was brought in there that his days were numbered there. Again, I'm not providing any kind of ultra incredible insight right there, but he still tried to do the best things for the organization. The whole Jerome Iginla thing, well, Jerome had as much to do, more to do with that than Jay Feaster did. It really kind of hung, at least in my opinion, hung him out to dry right there a bit. But that's water under the bridge right now. And I think Jay could be a, if Jay gets named, let me back up. If he gets named to the Vancouver Canucks by the ownership group there, obviously, in any capacity, that's a nod to John Tortorella and the fact that they are 100% behind him there.
Can we pile on the Leafs a little bit here? Can we?
It's your show. You guys can do whatever you want.
I mean, we love to make fun of the fact that they're going to miss the playoffs. When and where does the axe fall as far as the Leafs are concerned?
That's a good question. I mean, last night, you know, they were on the road, and so it didn't have the same. I mean, it had obviously the death knell feel to it, but it didn't have the same impact as if they were home at the ACC. I don't know. I've heard so many rumors. I'm not a rumor guy. I'm not an ultra scoop guy. But, you know, you hear so many things. That there's going to be shakeup there. There's no question about it. To me, the biggest thing would be, Mr. Lewicki, where does he want to go with this? He's going to put his fingerprints on this somewhere. There's no question about it. He's too involved, too strong of a personality, too opinionated. too confident, in my opinion, not to have his imprint somewhere put on this. And that's going to mean, whether it's management, that's going to mean coaching. There will be shake up there. I mean, if Randy stays, I'd be surprised if all of his coaching staff is, you know, if they don't change at least some or all of his other coaching staff. If Dave Nonis is gone, you know, do they bring in somebody from outside the organization with past history to Mr. Lywicki? I don't know, but there will definitely be change here. There's too much talk about it and too much of a collapse not to recognize that.
Can you put a blame on the defense, the goaltending, the forwards? You know what I mean? It's easy. The coaches and the management, always the heads are usually the ones to get chopped off, but It's the players that go out and play. Is there a certain...
Yes, all the above. Like I did on my... I'm American, so the SAT test, which I didn't do incredibly well on, but well enough to get me into college, it's called E, all of the above. That's the one I'd always refer to. You can put it to coaches and players and management and everybody involved. And you know, who brings in the players? Management brings in the players. Who coaches the players? Coaches do. So, yes, they're all involved. The players, listen, I didn't think this team, and you can, and I'm not, I am, but I know, listen, I don't relish in a team not making the playoffs. Any team. I mean, whatever. I want everybody to be successful. I didn't think this team was that great. I thought they were a better team last year. I did. You know, I thought that they would struggle to make the playoffs and in the Eastern Conference because I still looked at their team defense and their defense as a crew. They're six or seven guys. And didn't think they were still great. I mean, this is a, going back to John Tortorella, this is a different game. This is a mobile, very interactive defensive style of hockey right now. You cannot be slower and you cannot be passive. Look at the Colorado Avalanche and what Patrick Waugh has taken, a team that, self-included, I did not think after the first half of the year would still be this effective because how aggressive they are. I mean, there has to be a little control. They've got this aggressive man-to-man defense. You know why? Because their D can skate. They're involved, and then they get out. They're involved, and they get out. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, their defensive crew, it's like they get involved, and then they break down. Or they don't get involved, and they're so passive that their gap control, especially off of transitional opportunities, is completely wide open.
Well, we'll sit and wait. Vancouver gets it done this week. It might be next week for the Leafs, but who knows? Maybe we'll talk to you next week.
There's going to be a lot of stuff to talk about. We could talk, I think, every day with all these Canadian teams not making the playoffs. So I appreciate you guys having me on.
Hey, Billy, it's our pleasure. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys.